This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's
the congressional committees investigating the Trump campaign's contacts with Russia got some of their questions answered today before Democrats shut it down. As Chief Intelligence Correspondent Catherine Herridge reports, as Democrats grilled the witnesses, Republicans then turned the tables, alleging a double standard when it came to Hillary Clinton.
I think that is unfortunate. You have senators not willing to do the jobs they were elected to do.
Blasted by Republicans, a procedural move by Democrats abruptly shut down the Senate Russia panel after 2 hours, but not before lawmakers put former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort's Ukraine work for pro-Moscow group under scrutiny.
Wasn't this the kind of activity on behalf of a foreign government that FARA registration is meant to disclose?
We had previously advised Mr. Manafort we believed he had an obligation to register, and he is registered.
Former National Security Advisor Mike Flynn, who also retroactively filed paperwork under FARA, the Foreign Agent Registration Act, was criticized for promoting a foreign government while not disclosing his business relationship.
I didn't know at the time that he was receiving hundreds of thousands of dollars from a group that was representing Turkey. That's the kind of thing we want to get a hold of.
Another Republican said the obsession with the Trump team's Russia contacts was overblown, and the Democrats should not get a pass.
If we're going to get to the bottom of this, we need to investigate the whole story. It includes looking at serious allegations of foreign influence over the Clinton campaign.
Reading from a prepared statement, the committee chairman highlighted a perceived double standard, citing then-Secretary of State Clinton and Sidney Blumenthal, her close confidant.
If the Justice Department thought Mr. Blumenthal's activities on behalf of foreign interests did not require registration, it should simply say so.
And Grassley drew connections between the Russian lawyer who spearheaded the 2016 Trump Tower meeting with Manafort and Donald Trump Jr. and Fusion GPS, the U.S. opposition research firm behind the unverified anti-Trump dossier.
Knowing exactly who was acting on behalf of the Russian government is vital.
And the testimony of a key witness and critic of Russian corruption has been put off until tomorrow. And based on his prepared remarks, Bill Browder will connect the dots between Fusion GPS, the Russian lawyer at the 2016 Trump Tower meeting, and smear campaigns by Moscow.
Well, it would seem that the day of reckoning is right before the Democrats. Scott, you and I have been talking about this. We pointed this, I think, several weeks ago, that are they unraveling something more than they're ready to deal with? And that seems to be what's coming out, you know, as you read between the lines here. Why would the Democrats, you know, shut this down? I think they needed a connoiter and figure out, okay, what are we going to do with this, huh?
Yeah, let's get together quick. And
I don't have a white paper on this, you know. I don't have any, you know, what am I supposed to do? See, this is the problem when they're controlled by their leadership. They don't know. You see, but the Republicans, you know, on the other hand, hey, they'd be talking this thing out. They'd all have their ideas, and, you know, certainly they wouldn't be in lockstep. You know, this is the difference between the two parties. But the Democrats could see, whoa, wait a minute, this is, there is something there, and we look rather maybe too hypocritical than we can even stand. So we got to figure out what is going on with this stuff, because you know, from this IT individual that was associated with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the DNC, Fusion GPS, all these tentacles coming back. I mean, this is one incredible network, and you talk about collusion. I mean, it's like, where's Robert Mueller on this one? Is he going to discover this obvious elephant in the room, or is he going to ignore this seemingly like he's had other issues, because he'd much rather take the opportunity and power of his position to, you know, target Donald Trump and his family, his finances and other things, all, for, you know, all under the guise of, you know, this special counsel and supposedly this Russian collusion. which is what I think people want him to check out, not all these other issues that he's coming up with. But that's the nature of special counsel. So stay tuned. We've got more coming up.
If you're a sleep apnea sufferer who's on the go to your phone. Because if you give us a call right now, you'll be able to try the world's first portable mini CPAP device absolutely risk-free for 10 restful nights. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP, an engineering marvel that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. Its unique design is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. No more dragging around a big, bulky CPAP. Even better, now you can try Transcend absolutely risk-free for 10 restful nights by calling minicpap.com, 1-800-441-9833. Transcend is FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. You can also add a battery pack that's as tiny as a deck of cards. So now you can enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. But don't wait. To receive your 10-night in-home trial, call minicpap.com now. 1-800-441-9833. That's 1-800-441-9833. Getting
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Gentlemen, because after all, we're paying for this dysfunction. You know, think about it, right? Whether it's health care, I mean, you know, Congress is doing fine. As we said, I think things would be a little bit different if suddenly Congress found themselves being subjected to the same Obamacare dysfunction as the rest of America. What do you think would happen? Do you think they might settle this problem a little bit quicker? I'm just saying. Hey, let's take a break from this for a minute if we can, maybe for several minutes, and welcome back M. William Phelps. Whenever I hear of M. William, just his name, I always think of this burning rope, and I'm hearing Mission Impossible music in the background. Mr. Phelps is a New York Times bestselling author, investigative journalist with over a million copies of his books in print worldwide. New York Times bestselling author, crime serial killer expert, creator, producer, and host of Dark Minds, award-winning investigative journalist, M. William Phelps has written 30 books and counting. M. William, always good to have you with us. I think before you told me I could call you by your M name, help me out here because it's always awkward with, you know, an initial in front of a name, and I want to, with all due respect, to refer to you correctly.
It is, Bill, and call me Matthew as you usually do. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, good to have you here to talk about your latest book is garnering attention once again. I mean, the people love what you write.
Yeah, I mean, this one here, Dangerous Ground, is such a leap from my other books, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, it deals with a serial killer. The full title, Dangerous Ground, My Friendship with a Serial Killer. Friendship should be in quotes.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of this book details my life. My life into crime, my sister-in-law's murder in 1996, my brother's death after that, and, you know, how I developed this serial killer into appearing on a television show every week.
Yeah.
That's what really this is about.
Exactly, and as you say, anyone can become a killer under the right circumstances, even you. This says something about our, you know, you might say base human instincts.
Yeah, I mean, that's a quote from him to me. So that's a quote from Happy Face, who Happy Face Killer, Keith Jesperson. He was Raven on my show for three seasons, and that was a secret until last Sunday when the New York Post broke it. But Happy Face Killer, very famous guy, he was Raven, and he said to me, and we argued about this a little bit, he said to me, you know, under the right circumstances, anybody can become a killer. And you know, he started to go into, look at Vietnam, look at World War II, look at, you know. I'm like, look, there's no comparison between any of that. There's no comparison between some guy breaking into your home to try to, do violence.
Murder you or family, you're right,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, there's no comparison to what he did. He's a psychopath. Mm. Happy Face is a psychopath, and so we butted heads on that.
Well, for him, I guess to justify, right? I mean, he's trying to justify his murders. Why not? Let's bring everybody under the umbrella and use Vietnam or use any kind of military experience, you've got a situation where in a military operation or war, we're doing the country's business, aren't we? We're authorized to murder in that sense. Yes.
Yeah, well, we are, Bill, and you make an excellent, excellent, valid point about these guys. He justifies every single action he does, including murder. Mm-hmm. He justifies the victims coming into his life as this. We would talk about, he'd say, geez, it was karma. She was supposed to walk by me that day, and I was supposed to kill her. And I'm like, forget that. It's not karma.
Right.
You guys didn't run into each other, and your destiny was to take her life. Mm-hmm. You decided to do that because you're a psychopath, and that's what you do. He's a narcissist. He's an egomaniac. So everything in life revolves around him and mm-hmm. points back to him.
In the full spectrum of humanity, what is the percentage of psychopaths do you think exists, Matthew, that we're having to deal with in our society?
That's an interesting question. I just did some research on that a couple of weeks ago for something I'm working on, ironically, with Piers Morgan. I'm doing a show in the UK with Piers Morgan about serial killers. And I did some research on that, Bill. And here in the United States, we want to say that about 8%. So, and that's a big number, but, it's like 1 in 100,000, maybe 2 in 180,000 people are bona fide, real big-time psychopaths. Mm. And so who are these people? Are they walking by us every day? Well, you're born a psychopath. That much I talk about in Dangerous Ground. I get into the research of Dr. Adrian Raine is doing in the UK, these brain scans, and, you know, he proves that you're born a psychopath. But does that person, that baby born a psychopath, then go on to become a serial killer? There's a lot of things that have to happen in between for that to happen. And as we know, Bill, many of them end up in politics, and many of them end up on Wall Street.
Right. Yeah, quite interesting. We were talking about this yesterday, Matthew, about the Myers-Briggs study. When you take a look, I have a dear friend that does a lot of work for professional teams, and based on Myers-Briggs, and he takes a little bit further than that, and I'm sure if you heard me say Myers-Briggs, you'd probably cringe just a little bit, because it's a little bit more nuanced than that. But, you know, essentially some of the elements are there. And what was determined is that 40% of the top professional basketball players are in prison today with the same Myers-Briggs profile. So what does that tell you?
Boy, that is interesting.
Is that amazing?
I'd like to look deeper at that study, but society today is so different than it was 25, 30 years ago, as we know, because of so much information is so available to everybody. And look, that information is also available to evil, bad people, not just good people. So, so we got to take that into consideration. I mean, many people ask the question, how does a kid from Minnesota end up, in Pakistan in ISIS? I mean,
Yes, exactly.
Dealing in this book here, in Dangerous Ground, I really wanted to. I spent 6 years interviewing this guy. I mean, and I'm not talking, you know, here and there. I'm talking 5-6 phone calls a week, over 7,000 pages of letters he wrote to me, Skype interviews, personal visits. I have hundreds of hours of audio conversations between us, and I wanted to just get into his head, and I wanted to know every single thing about him that made him into the person he has become, you know, and I believe I achieved that in this book.
Well,
to my own detriment, I should say.
Well, I want to talk about that, the impact that has, because that goes into a follow-up question that I had for you relevant to you know, the cultural norms, whether it's music and movies and words that are put out there, the impact that it has on us, and especially you, you're being a filter of this narcissistic individual. How do you keep yourself from being affected? But we'll talk more about it on the other side. Going back to September of 2011, Matthew William Phelps made a bold decision that would change the landscape of reality-based TV and his own life. He asked a convicted serial killer to act as a consultant for his TV series under the codename Raven. The murderer shared his insights into the minds of other killers and helped analyze their crimes. More from Matthew right after the break. Stay with us, America. It is 15 minutes after the top of the hour.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Tyler, time to go for a family walk.
Just let me nap a little longer.
You promised we'd get more active.
I know. How come you're so ready to go?
Superberries Aronia Berries.
Aronia what?
Aronia Berries from superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness.
Where'd you get them?
I ordered them from superberries.com/radio, and right now we can get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus, we can save $4 at checkout.
I can't wait to try them. I'll get the dog.
I'll get the kid.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
Hi, I am Kelly Cook, the Chief Marketing Officer here at Kmart. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies in the United States, or that survivors can face a lifetime of serious health problems? Guess what? You can help. Join me and Kmart for the March for Babies Walk. We'll work together to raise funds for research and programs that help the March of Dimes fight premature birth and birth defects and improve the health of moms and babies. So start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
Kind of sounds
like a little bit of bagpipe music. I mean, it is, huh? That's what I thought. Okay, well, good job. Scott works them in today because is it Bagpipe Appreciation Day? If you don't appreciate bagpipes.
They never have Bagpipe Appreciation Day. I'm telling you, these people's parents have to they have to be deaf.
Really? You just kind of like with Steve-O Evans, you know, the our Hollywood maniac, the movie guy who is practicing his auctioneering in the back room somewhere. Like I said, his wife should be thankful. He's not trying to learn the tuba or something, right? You know, what can I tell you? Hey, our conversation, welcome back, America. It's just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour conversation with Matthew William Phelps, M. William Phelps, officially, because that's the name that you see on his many books, continues here. For the first time, the award-winning investigative journalist reveals the identity of Raven, the serial killer who co-starred with him on Dark Minds, and tells the story of his intriguing bond with one of America's most disturbing killers. Before the break, Matthew, we were talking about the impact that being around somebody like this, can have on you. And that's anybody, for that matter, that... As been said, that bad company can corrupt good character. We've heard those sayings. All it takes is one bad apple to spoil the bunch, that sort of thing. But it's impossible not to be impacted by someone with this kind of dark influence, and as you say, dark mind, right. And you're hearing these stories, and you're probably even questioning your own sanity and probably your own conscience.
Yeah, this, Bill, was the journey of darkness that didn't start out that way for me. When I began, a good friend, John Kelly, a forensic psychologist who was also my co-star on Dark Minds, he was my kind of forensic psychologist expert on Dark Minds, said to me, when I started talking to Raven / Happy Face, he said, listen, Phelps, he said, you're a tough guy. Mm-hmm. You're a big Catholic. You go to Mass four times a week. You lift weights, and, you've written all these books, and you're hardened by this. But let me tell you something. When the devil knocks on your door, you let him in. You better be ready to dance with him, or he's going to take control.
Right.
And I laughed at John, and I said, John, you're talking to Phelpsy. They called me Phelpsy when we were on the show.
Right.
You're talking to Phelpsy, man. I can do this. But let me tell you, Bill, when I was on the floor in the corner of my bathroom, bawling like a little child 5 years later, holding my gut, just not knowing what to do anymore, I wasn't laughing anymore, Bill. It was excruciating.
You just don't know what you don't know. What brought you to that point, Matthew, that you were, huddled up there and, like you say, your bathroom, distraught, confused? What brought you to that point?
The way I describe the metaphor I've been using, which seems to fit, is that, you jump into the ocean in September or October and it's 50 degrees and it's freezing.
Mm-hmm.
However, you stay in it for a while. And, you kind of get used to that water
a little bit.
And the water temperature hasn't changed, but you have. So over the course of all of these, remember, 7,000 pages of letters, those letters come into my P.O. box. Mm-hmm. They go through my eyes, into my mind.
Exactly.
Each one of them. And then talking to him. And then at one time, the prison allowed me to start Skyping with this guy. So here I was, reading his letters every day. I'm talking to him three or four times a week. I'm writing about him. I'm doing the show. And then all of a sudden, the prison says, well, here you go. You can start Skyping with him. Now he's in my office. Now I'm staring at him. And this guy just, I was a shell. I had no soul at the time, and I'm walking through life here soulless. And here's this guy just stepping into me. There's one thing when you deal with a serial killer. That you always have to keep in mind. And what it is you got to be on when you talk to him. You got to be on. You got to be that guy. You can't be the suburban guy, the suburban dad or whatever. You got to be the journalist. You got to be that guy. And a couple of times I let my guard down, and he got in. And it was just a process over time. I mean, he killed 8 women. He strangled them. One woman in particular, he tied underneath his 18-wheel truck and he dragged her for 12 miles. And a particular incident that really disturbed me was I asked him, I said, Jesperson, I said, listen, I gotta know. was she alive or was she dead when you strapped her under that truck? And he starts laughing and he says, what kind of person do you think I am, Phelps? And I said, you're a serial killer, man. That's a fair question. Yeah. And he started laughing and he said, well, it would be a better narrative for you if she was alive. And then he really started laughing and he said, but I think she was dead. So nice. This is the kind of psychological chess match we're playing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I would go to bed on a night like that and I'd be staring at the ceiling and I'd see images of this poor woman and what she went through. And it just started to just deteriorate me.
Well, you know, this is the thing, you know, you bring up a good point, whether you're interviewing a serial murderer like this or you're running into, you know, casual daily events. If you're not solid in your own thinking, as you understand firsthand and even more dramatically, is that, you know, a void cannot, sustain itself very long. It's going to be filled with something. And, right?
Yeah. I mean, but one thing that kept me going was, and I'm going to screw this up, but the Broadway play, Les Miserables,
yeah.
Yeah. There's a line in that play, and it's, even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I kept that, and that's a quote in one of the chapters of my book. I kept that at the forefront of what I was doing, and it's never more clear to me now that line is really true. It's never more clear to me now. So the other part of it, though, was, he had a Jane Doe case, meaning he killed a woman in Florida. He told authorities where she was. They found her body. But that woman, the last 20 years, has still been a Jane Doe. They haven't been able to identify her. And part of what I wanted to do, and I'm doing, and I did in the book, was get him to finally help authorities to identify that woman, because for 20 years he wouldn't do it. But I convinced him that he should do it, and that's what we're working on.
All right, so we're still not there to where the information has been fully released or discerned as to where this, do we know where in Florida this took place?
Oh, yeah, I detail the whole story in the last third of the book as a mystery, and what happens is, ultimately, Happy Face ends up drawing me a picture of her from his memory, and we have her skull, so the forensic, I started working with the Florida forensics people, and they put together a bust of her skull and got a picture of her. And we put the two pictures together, and you know what? They matched.
Wow.
So we have a good image of her. It's in the book. We also, I detail where she was picked up, where he dumped her, and where she was heading. She was heading to Lake Tahoe and Reno. And I'm going to be doing publicity out there and stuff and trying to get her picture out there. We have the jewelry she had on, very distinctive jewelry, very distinctive dress. He claims her name was Suzanne, Suzette, Susan, something like that. He didn't know her last name. So there's a lot of details. So I think ultimately we're going to identify her.
Well, we can only hope so. Matthew, in Dangerous Ground, My Friendship with a Serial Killer, you say the friendship should be in quotes. And I would think that, what does that mean with a serial killer? I mean, to have any kind of friendship, there's got to be some sort of genuineness. And if somebody is so narcissistic and self-centered, they don't even know who they are. How can you be friends with somebody who doesn't know who they are?
Yeah, the friends is kind of a loose term. What I tried to do, what I wanted to do, I realized as the years clicked off the calendar, was I tried to say to myself, is there any humanity in this guy? Is there a fleeting drop of humanity? And I found it. I found it. I write about it in the end of the book, where the last time I went out to see him, we had known each other for 5 years at this point, and he's talking about his, I said, do you have any regrets? And he says, well, not a regret, but let me explain something. He says, my 3-year-old son was putting blocks up, wooden blocks, and I was playing with him, and I kept knocking it down, and he didn't know it. He kept getting frustrated and frustrated, and I kept doing this, and he started crying, and I felt good about that, Phelps. Now, if he stopped there, it would be incredible. But he says to me, and I don't know why I felt good. And for a minute there, he looked to the side, and I think I saw some humanity in his eye, and then he came back. Then the monster came back.
Wow. I guess that's what, that's what happens with people like this. They're so disconnected. But every once in a while, the synapse connects, and it almost makes sense for a moment. But that's what makes him so dangerous, because you're starving for some sense of human connection, aren't you?
Mention to anybody of any age who takes any prescription medications, how would you like to save up to 85% on almost every prescription drug you're currently buying at your local pharmacy?
We're talking about saving you real money on most of the top prescription drugs. Up to 85% savings. Asthma medications, you can save up to 85%. High cholesterol and high blood pressure meds, save up to 85%. And many, many more. This is not a hard-to-use discount card. These are real savings on prescription meds delivered to your door in days. We have expert prescription consultants to help you right now. It's a free service. So call now and learn how you can save up to 85% on most prescription drugs.
Call now, 800-362-9337, 800-362-9337, 800-362-9337. That's 800-362-9337.
A great president once said, the nine most feared words in the English language. I am from the government and I'm here to help. Adequacy of loss absorbing capacity. You call that help? That's the mandate approved by the G20. The banks can steal your money. Well, they can't steal your gold and silver that you fully control. You can have it delivered into an IRA at a depository under lock and key, where you can hide it where no one can find it, not even your wife.
What?
Sorry, honey. Your CDs, money market accounts, and savings accounts are all at risk. Call GSI Exchange at 800-474-9159. We have 75 years of market experience. A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. 800-474-9159. Call now and get a free bank failure survival guide. 800-474-9159.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-281-4224. 800-281-4224. 800-281-4224. That's 800-281-4224.
Here, Bill Martinez live. World seems out of control. How about words of wisdom from the Minions?
Bill Martinez live.
So simple and yet so profound. You know, this is why we love the Minions. You know, they're not long on speech. I love the fact that they get to the point so quickly. You know, we should all be so precise. Our next guest knows how to get to the point very quickly. And we're going to talk about a topic that many of you are challenged by. And that is the challenge of modernizing Islam. What does that mean? You know, and I think it's an interesting concept, because you have people, you know, who have been conditioned and brought up in such a way that there's, their religion, their faith is, the be all and end all. And that's it. And in some cases, it has been, you might argue that it's been hijacked and radicalized. And you have, some people in the name of God, Allah, that they are doing God's bidding, that they are on a mission from God. And we're going to talk with Christine Douglas Williams. She's a 9-time international award-winning journalist, TV producer, who hosted the National Canadian Talk Show On the Line on CTS-TV, conducted over 1,600 interviews in this live, open-line, one-hour daily show, which captured 6 prestigious international awards, appointed director with the Canadian Race Relations Foundation, an advisor appointee to the Office of Religious Freedom. I'm giving you all her background because I want you to understand how this all connects and what she brings to the conversation here as we continue to pursue the truth and enjoy enlightened conversation. You understand? Okay, Christine writes for the Gladstone International Policy Council, also a daily writer at Jihad Watch. Her writing has appeared in the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, Jewish Press,
breaking Israel news, Front Page Magazine, and the Hudson Institute, as well as many other news outlets. She is the author of the book, as I just referenced, The Challenge of Modernizing Islam, Islamic Reformers Speak, and the Obstacles They Face. Christine, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Thank you. I'm fine, thank you. And well, I've got my signing orders. I'll keep to the point.
Well, you know, sometimes the minions are just here for fun, you know, so, but I trust, I know that you will. You know, this issue of modernizing Islam, I think this is something that they're fighting within their own faith and religion is, what does it mean? How do we, you know, is it really something that we can do in terms of assimilating with the Western culture? Or are we just supposed to do what many say, and that's just overtake it and command it?
You have, first of all, established in your introduction a lot of very intense points that can take forever. But in keeping with that promise to stay to the point, I'm going to begin with the religion itself and what really represents Islam. Because there are those that say, look, the religion has been hijacked, it's really a religion of peace and so on. But we could argue about that forever. The point is, one need only look historically at 1,400 years of conquest and the brutality that still goes around us. And these brutalities across the board that we're seeing with ISIS, with Al-Qaeda and such, they're actually quoting texts from the Hadith, the Sunnah, the Quran. So it's indisputable. People are not stupid. They're reading in black and white the text that command to do such acts. However, with that being said, although a very different religion, because religions do differ from one another, when one looks at the command of the Old Testament to stone people for various sins, and the whole list of related to appearance and to-dos and not-to-dos for men and women and so forth, it is a long list, and we don't see Jews to that degree practicing that, and we don't see Jews stoning people today for various sins. So in terms of disobedience to text, the Jews no longer practice that. When one looks at Islam historically and the extent of it and the severity of it, of course we're dealing with something much more severe. But the fact of the matter is, historically there have been reformists from inside who tried to say, look, we need to progress with time along with every other religion, and can this immutability of the decree, first of all, is questionable because it's based on oral text 200 years after Muhammad that was finally put together in print. But aside from that fact, there were those that wanted peace, and they were killed throughout history. We live in a global era today of globalization where information is at the tip of your fingertips through the internet and various other streams. So that movement has actually strengthened, but a lot of political movements are going on behind the scenes, and while we hear whispers of it and we see evidence of some of it, such as we saw with the Arab Spring, although it was highly a failure, it was still motivated by grave dissatisfaction within the Islamic world, as well as the Iranian Revolution. So right there, people can change, and they do change. Even with the fall of the Ottoman Empire, it was motivated by the Young Turks that came from within until it went to Ataturk, and that was the first of the Republic of Turkey, and that was the fall of the Ottoman Empire. There was change that happened and was driven from within, and even in the days of the Young Turks, when they were driving this force of separating religion from politics, they were still working along with the two groups of the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, called the millets at that time. So that aided in the fall as well. But history is noted with surprises, and right now there is a reformist group internationally in various forms in various countries. There are peaceful Muslims on North American soil. The interviewees in my book, they proclaim loudly that, look, we believe in Islam. We follow the peaceful text. Our families were always inspired by it. Our families currently are inspired by it. But we are very much against any violence, and not just violence. We're against supremacism and self-takeover of any Western nation as well. And when it comes to issues like Islamophobia, free speech, speaking out against Muslims, they're saying, well, of course that you can do this. It's not polite. It may not be kind. But according to Western rights to free expression, we have the full right to be unkind or to be insulted or spiritually wounded, as the case may be.
Well, you know, for them, as you say, this is a bifurcation of what I would say is still mainline Islam, is it not?
Yes, it is. But you see, when one looks at mainline Islam, there's so many different sects. The Quranist sect, And one of the interviewees in my book, Dr. Sheikh Subi Mansour, is the founder of that sect, which has been largely persecuted in Egypt. And he, in fact, was an Al-Azhar University professor, very prestigious as a sheikh. And not only was he kicked out of Al-Azhar and persecuted, thrown in jail to boot, he was also exiled by Mubarak. So we do see these groups and internationally that get persecuted. And yes, that is the mainstream, but that is precisely the core of the turf war that's taking place. Is this group going to, I'm talking all Muslims, going to reform and say, look, we reject the barbarity of this kind of a history. We're going to stop now. We want to modernize, be on equal footing as everybody else. Or are we going to be at odds with the rest of the world and go back to the 7th century and remain at odds with the rest of the world and perhaps overtake the entire world?
That is the question, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
No. And, you know, we spoke recently with Rahil Raza, who you probably know. Yes. And I figured as much. And, you know, and she gives us a lot of hope in terms of, you know, assimilation, what it could mean potentially. As she told me, she says, Bill, I enjoy more religious freedom outside of these Islamic controlled countries. You know, and why would I not want to be in a country where I could practice my religion freely?
Yes, precisely. And she hit the nail on the head. Even in mainstream mainline countries like Saudi Arabia, Iran, people are still being beheaded for blasphemy.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. And so here it is. So what you are declaring in the challenge of modernizing Islam is an internal struggle. So if that internal struggle exists, is it no wonder that those of us on the outside are confused and misunderstand, because they're still to figure out what modern Islam is all about?
The thing is about the modernizers and the reformists, they come to the West. And they understand what the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and Freedoms mean. They know what abuse is, what lack of freedom and oppression and strictures of Islam is. And many, many Muslims coming here, they know this, and they're happy to immigrate to the West. But when they do immigrate to the West, many of them find, like everybody else, problems with integration. Who doesn't, coming to a completely different society? But the problem is, many of them, because they're having trouble with the natural process of integration, they end up going to the mosques where they can find their the familiarity of where they came from.
Something they can relate to.
Radicalization going on in these mosques.
Yeah, without a doubt. Christine Douglas Williams is with us. We're talking about her book, The Challenge of Modernizing Islam. More from Christine on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. It is just about 18 minutes before the top of the hour.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park, or the beach, or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347.
anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Many medicines used to treat colds and flu contain acetaminophen, a pain reliever and fever reducer found in hundreds of over-the-counter and prescription medicines. But taking too much or more than one medication containing acetaminophen per day can damage your liver. So always read the label and don't take acetaminophen if you drink three or more alcoholic drinks every day. To learn more, visit fda.gov/OTCPainInfo. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Food and Drug Administration.
Hits the oscillation. Bill Martinez live. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot.
A little happy music, why not, huh? Anything to get the blood rolling in a positive manner, why not? Christine Douglas-Williams continues with us, a nine-time international award-winning journalist, TV producer who hosted the national Canadian talk show On the Line on CTS TV, conducted over 1,600 interviews in this live open line one-hour daily show, which captured six prestigious international awards. We're talking about her new book, The Challenge of Modernizing Islam, Islamic Reformers Speak and the Obstacles They Face. And I was talking with Christine off air for just a moment, and I told her honestly, she's the first person of all the people that we've spoken on this topic that I believe has really gone to the core, the heart and soul of this issue. And that is that if modern Islam today is confused about its assimilation and their mission. And you got to think about how they were raised. I mean, you see some people think, well, this is just maybe something that's just happened over the last couple of years. And I say, wait a minute, there's so much more than you realize. This is a generational issue. These people have been raised, I say these people, you know, people who believe in this faith have been raised in a certain way, by the Quran, the Haditha, and that says certain specific things about their religion, how they are supposed to practice. Now that comes in conflict to the modern, cultures of the day outside of their areas where they've been raised. And now they go, wait a minute, if I'm going to assimilate, I want to assimilate, I want to be perceived as somebody who is interested in peace, and I do that, I have to kind of reconcile these other issues in the Quran that I've been raised by. And so there starts the conflict where you have people that want to be regarded as peace-loving Muslims, but yet you have the other side of people say, no, ours is about conquest, that what we have been trained in the Quran and by Muhammad is right for us and for all people. So either they bend a knee to our philosophy and be subjected, they're going to pay the consequences. And therein lies the dynamic tension that takes place. So if they themselves are in confusion, is it any wonder that the rest of us on the outside trying to understand, trying to maybe have a welcome mat of hospitality to our Muslim neighbors, that sometimes we can be confused.
Very well said. Now, I'm going to give this very basic example that I think all of your viewers could understand.
Mm-hmm.
If one adopts a child that comes from a troubled background, the first thing you need to do is establish a clear sense of rules as to what is acceptable according to house rules or what is not acceptable. Otherwise, you risk complete upheaval of your own house.
Mm-hmm.
This is precisely what we're facing in the West now. Within the Islamic world, they're facing worse, because the battle is stronger, the turf war is bloodier, it's established that this kind of a rulership under the Sharia still dictates that if you blaspheme Muhammad, you must be subject to death.
Mm-hmm.
So it's twofold. Their countries, what's happening there, and something is definitely happening there, like I outlined earlier, but also on our soil. We have immigrants coming here, and we have to be understanding many of them just are not in agreement or in keeping with our democracy. In fact, many of them are being told, you are supreme. Sharia is supreme. It's divine law, and you don't question it. So
yeah.
They come with this expansionist, supremacist attitude, and we see the mess that's happening in Europe. Do we really want it in North America? So standing up for our democracy is the best thing any leader can do, not just for the Western society and all of its residents, which includes every religion and every race, but also for Muslims themselves coming into the country, so that women are protected from FGM and other cultural practices such as honor killings and so forth, or
exactly.
White beating that's also acceptable.
Genital mutilation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The whole line. Yeah, and to your point here, Christine, you know, this is, you know, we hear people, you know, on TV, they will come out and it's kind of like the man on the street response, where you have young Muslim children saying, look, Sharia is coming to the United States, you better get over it and accept it.
That is deplorable, but mm-hmm. it is a loud, clear warning. We know the saying, out of the mouth of babes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when one looks at the reformists and the modernizers that are interviewed in the book, that is actually a very strong feature. Their emotions come out, not just the struggle within Islam itself internationally, but also the struggle within themselves of assimilating, of recognizing. They have no problem at all in terms of assimilation and democracy. They don't struggle with that. But
mm-hmm.
but they do have issues with the history of Islam, what's in the hadith, what's in the sunnah, and generally they don't believe in those books. They strictly mm-hmm. adhere to the Quran, and when it comes to the problematic texts, you'll find a range from, look, leave that back in the 7th century, Muhammad faced an existential threat, to, look, Muhammad had absolutely no excuse for what he did. He took a child bride. He authorized certain practices that are just not in keeping with today.
Mm-hmm.
And some will be open on this. Others will feel a sense of woundedness because they don't want to criticize their religion. But it does not mean, and this is what Westerners also don't understand, it does not mean that they don't support democracy. It just means that they are struggling within themselves, trying to reconcile the criticism that they're hearing about religion, and those that are saying, oh, 1.6 billion Muslims, give up your faith. If you want to be accepted by the West, you must abandon your faith. You must outlaw the Quran. We must do this. That's not in keeping with the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and religious freedoms.
Yeah, we've said on this show, Christine, that I no more than I would want somebody to tell me that I should rip pages out of my Bible. I'm not going to have them, and I'm not going to demand that they rip pages out of their Quran. But the fact of the matter is we have documents in this country, well established and backed up by our Constitution, that says that there's freedom of religion. And what they're coming against, they're in direct conflict with that. Well, if that's the case, look, you know, you're welcome to visit. That's fine. Enjoy our culture, our country, as much as your religion can allow. And, you know, if you want to add to the proposition, that's fine. But if you're in conflict with it and you're insisting on Sharia law, where, if the truth be known, Christine, there are enclaves, you know, small little zip codes and maybe not so small in some areas, where they are practicing, you know, under the radar Sharia law.
Yes, absolutely. On American soil to boot. And
yes.
For Sweden, they're on the verge of civil war. But there's one, which you said there is very important. Nobody wants to see their Bible or their Quran or any whatever they worship ripped up or defiled. But we do have that right to do so in this country. Something really needs to be said, though, about the Muslim psyche when it comes to the whole notion of blasphemy. It's conditioned that you just don't insult Muhammad. In fact, the Turkish leader, Recep Erdogan, said not long ago, and he's repeated this, that to criticize the religion of Islam is deeply wounding to Muslims. So he has attempted to outlaw any criticism of Islam, and in fact, he has come forth to say that Islamophobia is a crime against humanity because he is following the rules of the Sharia and the deep conditioning of Muslims. And yes, it's hurtful, but there's one guy in particular in the book, Dr. Jalal Zubairi. He's a medical doctor with the Center for Pluralism in America. And he comes out and says, look, this is critical that Muslims need to learn to be criticized. They need to learn to speak among themselves, to debate among themselves religious texts, but they also need to be criticized by others. They need to be openly challenged and get to the point where their reaction is not something fierce, something angry, attacking. And, of course, the range of anger goes from just an emotional rage to a physical rage to the point where you're attacking people.
Exactly.
So he's saying that this is something very important that Muslims realize. You can be challenged. It's okay. So to accept pluralism within the religion and discuss it, even if you don't want to hear it, is a really critical point.
Well, case in point, you can talk to any amount of Christians you want to talk to and ask them about how their Lord and Savior has been insulted. And what we have learned through the process, many Christians will tell you that they believe that their God is big enough. Our God is big enough to deal with that. And in, you know, here it's been a couple of thousand years, and God can defend himself quite well. Thank you very much. And, you know, this is what we've learned in the process, and maybe that's what, you know, Muslims can learn and grow from.
Absolutely.
So for you in your book, and you're talking with Islamic reformers, they're speaking out about these obstacles they face in this last minute that we have, Christine. You know, summarize their sentiment, if you would.
Their sentiment ranges from we need reform. We need to actually provide a reformist text. And this is something that is being worked on by Dr. Tawfiq Hamid with the Potomac Institute for Policy Studies. He's provided that alternative text. But it also ranges from those who – it also includes those who say, look, we don't want to change the text. Leave it there. But we are modernized. We believe in the UN and Declaration of Human Rights. And this is what Muslims need to stand on if they genuinely call themselves moderate. No preferential treatment. No words like Islamophobia. You need to modernize to the point where you are respectful to the land that you've immigrated to.
Well, it is a process, and hopefully we can realize the end benefit of the process. That is our prayer for all concerned, including Muslims. Your book, available, The Challenge of Modernizing Islam, Islamic Reformers Speak, and the Obstacles They Face, available at all the usual places, Christine?
Every usual place, every major bookstore, yes.
And we'll link it. And we'll link it on our website, and a copy of this interview is available and downloadable for those of you that would want to share it with your friends and neighbors. Christine Douglas-Williams, 9-time international award-winning journalist, TV producer, who hosted the national Canadian talk show On the Line on CTS TV. Christine, thank you so much for being with us.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Imagine what